More and more are joining them. The players are rejoicing.
Welcome to the O'Glamagami Podcast, a podcast dedicated to all things Glamorgan cricket. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, give us a follow on Twitter at O'Glamagami or Instagram, search O'Glamagami Podcast. So sit back and enjoy with us the ups and probably downs of Glamorgan County Cricket Club.
Hello, you're listening to the one and only podcast dedicated to Glamorgan County Cricket Club. I'm your host, Andy Ward. And alongside me for third season is Mr. Ed Lockett.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, good to be here.
This episode is a season preview, so we'll be reviewing what's happened off the field, and then we'll take a look at the playing squad and the upcoming fixtures that Glamorgan has and who their opponents will be in County Championship Division 2. So yeah, we'll be previewing the 2024 County Championship season, and obviously focusing on Glamorgan. I start off with some sad news. The club were looking for members to join an advisory group. So I applied, and unfortunately, my application was unfortunately, even though I put in a strong application form saying that we've got over 400 followers on Twitter and Instagram and got a very diverse range of followers. And we can give those voices to this advisory group, which has talked about the supporter experience. And I felt I had a lot to offer, and we got a good platform here. Unfortunately, it was rejected, and I wasn't successful, and this podcast wasn't successful in getting on that advisory group. So started the season off not quite as positive as I wanted to, and I thought I was going to have some really positive news to tell everyone and our listeners, but it's not to be, unfortunately.
Commiserations. Do you know how many people they were looking for?
No, they didn't put a number on it. They just said they wanted to be as diverse as possible and have a gender mix and ethnicity mix, and a selection from the various different categories of membership, which is understandable. But I just thought that this was a gateway for them to interact with a lot of supporters who don't live in Cardiff and maybe don't live in the UK. I did put that in the application form, but unfortunately, we were rejected. Never mind. Okay. We shall remain positive in our engagement with the club as much as we can. I just remembered something to perk us all up, that I bumped into Graham Wagg over Christmas. It was a pleasant chap, and what a pleasant conversation we had. So anyway, that was my sad news. But hey, we're not going to dwell on it. We'll carry on, and hopefully everyone enjoys listening to us and doing what we're doing. The next thing then is CEO appointment. Before we go on to the head coach appointment, Glamorgan announced that Dan Cherry was taken over from Hugh Morris as CEO. I think it's well documented on this podcast about our prediction about what could have, should have, what was likely to happen with the appointment of that CEO post. Obviously nothing personal. If you go back and listen to our last episodes, I think we said that it'd be a shame if another ex-player got it. And of course he did get it. Nothing personal. And I think the one thing that really frustrated me was the fact that Glamorgan didn't recruit externally for that role. And they put a press notice out saying they didn't recruit externally because they thought they had the best candidate internally, so they didn't want to go to external. The press release said the board considered the appointment of the new CEO very carefully. Our normal policy at Glamorgan County Cricket Club is to conduct external searches when recruiting. However, it was recognised that Dan is an exceptional candidate and who decided not to look externally. I just felt it was a missed opportunity. Major organisations and major companies now will try and get the most diverse candidate or diverse candidates to apply, because it really does add value to an organisation getting diverse thoughts, not doing the echo chamber / groupthink by recruiting internally. And all major companies are adopting that recruitment approach, trying to get the best candidate in, whoever it is, but from a diverse candidate group. And that's, I think that's the modern way. And I just, Glamorgan have just almost shot themselves in the foot. I personally think by just going internally and not looking external and getting someone outside the group think, or you could look at it the other way, an ex-player. So I was disappointed with that they didn't go external. Now, if Dan Cherry may still have been, as the chairman said, the exceptional candidate, and that would have been absolutely fine, but not to have looked outside and cast the net wider. There could have been a missed opportunity there. It was really disappointing. We are where we are with it. Wish him all the success in the role. Obviously nothing personal, but I just think the club took one step back, having taken steps forward with the appointment of the overseas head coach. That was the CEO appointment. That followed the appointment of our new head coach, Bradburn. And Ed, can you provide me some some background on Grant? And obviously we know he had links to the Pakistan cricket setup there. And we kept tweeting over the winter that hopefully he had links to especially a fast bowler. Obviously, that's come true. We'll touch about that in a minute. But yeah, not really sure about too much about his background, what kind of he's achieved in his career. So are you able to enlighten us and fill in some of the blanks?
I admit to possibly not having heard of him. Mm. Maybe Grant Bradburn, I'll admit to not having heard of him, I think. So, but that going just sort of contrary to what you've just been talking there about the CEO, this is an appointment from outside. Yeah, it's exciting. He said all the right things in the press. Mm. His background is he's born in Hamilton and he's played for Northern Districts as a player, sort of as a lower order batsman and an off break bowler.
Oh, okay.
He did make 7 test appearances for New Zealand and 11 ODI appearances. Never a regular. I mean, he made those sort of 7 appearances in tests and 11 appearances in ODIs from 1990 to 2001.
Okay.
So, never really a regular, but probably a fairly honest cricketer, I'm imagining.
I get that. I guess that would have been in a period of, well, especially late 90s, Daniel Vettori. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
It would have been hard to get in past him.
That's right. Vettori, I think, was a bit later. But yeah, he was probably, Vettori was around. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, like, obviously, New Zealand cricket wasn't as strong in the 90s as it is now, or as it was when Vettori was in his prime.
Mm.
As a playing career, sort of fairly honest, and when he finished playing for Northern Districts, he was the record appearance holder, so very, very loyal servant. And he went, his family sort of had a sports shop, I believe. So as well as sort of running that, he combined his time with coaching Northern Districts, and then there was a sort of a change in the head coach, and then so he became head coach in Northern Districts. He then went to coach New Zealand under-19s from 2013 and 2014. Then he became Scotland coach from 2014, 2018. Which,
did he get him qualified for any major tournaments?
No, he didn't. No. But he, I think it's interesting. I was thinking this before I sort of did any research about him, and that sort of Scotland experience, my initial sort of thing is like, well, that is almost like coaching a county. Yeah. And he's actually said that in his, one of his quotes, actually, is that working for Scotland was, akin to working at a county. He's very experienced. And so after leaving Scotland in 2018, he's sort of been working with Pakistan. The vibe that he's put out in the sort of the few sort of press releases that I've seen him has been really good. Yeah, exciting person to have around. It seems very sort of good energy.
Yeah.
But let's just wait and see. Right?
Yeah, they've done a few videos, short videos, and I've seen the interviews he's done, all saying all the right things, really positive, hoping to bring a new energy. It'll be interesting to see what style of cricket we play. I think he said he sort of quoted somebody, he's here to win matches, and he's obviously going to say that. I was impressed with some of his background. It reminded me about the Scottish job, which I forgot about. But yeah, you're right. That's he's there for a few years, wasn't he? And then Pakistan, I think he was sort of, I don't think he was like the coach, but he was sort of part of the structure, like performance or something. Is that right? Something like that?
With Pakistan.
Pakistan,
you
say.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was head coach up until last year. But he cancelled his contract because they didn't reach the semi-finals of the World Cup. Or whether that was cancelled by mutual consent or
maybe. I was really surprised when when we announced it. Really surprised, but happy surprise. He's got pedigree. Now you've talked about his background as a seasoned Glamorgan support to remember. It always feels like in the past, like Duncan Fletcher, Matthew Mott, who have done well, and then they go on to a bigger job in this country. Given Grant's background, if he does well, it feels it's a stepping stone to maybe could be a stepping stone to who knows what England job might be there. Anyway, let's not look too far ahead. We haven't played a game yet. I think all Glamorgan supporters reacted positively to it. He's made the captain appointments of Sam Northeast in the Red Bull, which is great appointment. Hopefully his form returns a little bit. It dipped last year, so I hope that doesn't affect it too much. And then Kieran Carson, then obviously he's appointed him as white ball captain. He's retaining that. Really positive, saying all the right things. We'll see what sort of teams he puts out. Following on from the appointment of the head coach and the appointment of the CEO, I think all the supporters and members were crying out for some recruitments. Obviously we didn't sign Michael Ness, it didn't return. He went to Hampshire. We were disappointed with all, I think we were all speaking half of the supporters and very disappointed. But we hoped that Grant would have some connections, and we did. We signed Mira Hamza, and obviously we've signed Mason Crane. Ed, are you able to provide some background on our two key recruitments so far?
Yeah, I'll start with Mason Crane. And yeah, so he's been signed on loan.
A season loan, isn't it?
Yeah. For those not aware, yeah, leg break bowler. Made his England debut very young. He's a 21-year-old. But hasn't really sort of kicked on. So background is he's from Sussex, but he was left out of a tour, I understand, with Sussex under-14s. And so didn't carry on playing for Sussex and was picked up by Hampshire. So yeah, that's mainly who he's been playing his first-class cricket for, is Hampshire. Appearances for New South Wales. Sunrises Eastern Cape. Despite his early promise in making his test debut against Australia at Sydney in 2018. There hasn't really been a lot to report, really, which is it's a shame. This could be sort of make or break, dare I say it, this sort of year with Glamorgan, maybe. Let's face it, maybe that's a bit dramatic to say. I mean, I'll just read quickly sort of through his averages, his stats. In first-class cricket, his bowling average is 42.98, which isn't great for a bowler, really.
Yeah.
In T20, it's decent down at... So his average there is 24.20, which is probably okay for T20. Mm-hmm. And in one-day cricket, it's an average of 29.86. And okay, that's wise, but I really hope that this is... season that he can sort of kick on.
It feels coming to play in Division 2 with a team that's knocked on the door for promotion last two seasons and not done it. Yeah, you kind of think that's it's a bit like when Billy Root joined us from it was Notts. Obviously he had time at Yorkshire. It feels like he's found Billy Root's find his level with us. You never know that this might be the level that Mason Crane finds himself at.
Yeah.
After that early promise, which, crikey, I'd love that. I'd like to find my level at playing professional cricket. I remember the debut getting called up for that test, you know, in the Ashes in Australia is a bit random. Perhaps this move will freshen things up. Perhaps that's what he needs. But I was pleased we signed the spinner. So obviously we've struggled. Didn't sign one in September. So when others in the Division 2 did and got promoted. So I'm pleased with that. The other recruitment that we desperately need, because we haven't replaced Michael Hogan, is a seam bowler. And we got the announcement on St. David's Day with the announcement of Mason Crane was Mir Hamza, Pakistan international. Can you provide us some enlightening information about our new overseas signer, who I think is signed till, I believe, probably September? Is that right?
I understood it was, no, just the first sort of half.
First half, until, okay.
Yeah, half of the season. But yeah, so he was born in Karachi, and that's where he's played most of his cricket, really, for Karachi and sort of different formats. Made 5 test appearances for Pakistan. He has had experience over in England before with Warwickshire, I understand, although it was the BBC article was saying that it was Sussex, so I'm not too sure who it was for, okay. Warwickshire or Sussex. Left-arm seamer is known to Grant Bradburn So yeah, that's obviously the link. Bowling average, yeah. So in his five test appearances, he's taken 9 wickets at an average of 45. First class, well, very good average. In his 110 first class games, taken 434 wickets at an average of 22.40. So yeah, that's very respectable. And yeah, one day cricket in his 90 appearances, 126 wickets at an average of 30.98. And T20 in his 60 appearances in T20, he's taken 62 wickets at an average of 29.14. I think that's, by all accounts, it's a solid signing. His experience, he's 31.
Yeah, it says he's signed for the first seven fixtures of the County Championship Division Two, so.
He's got a very good T20 record. Well, certainly recently, as Mir Hamza. I don't know if he's going to be playing any T20 cricket. Well, yet that's not necessarily clarified in the contract yet. It might be extended, who knows? Left arm seamer in sort of British conditions is he can, he can generally do quite well. Yeah,
He
good luck to him.
took the prize wicket of Australian Steve Smith in his recent test for Pakistan in January. So that's the two new signings that we've announced so far. I don't think we'll be announcing, well, we might surprise us, but I don't think we'll be announcing any other signings to add to the squad. We'll be covering this in the next part of our season preview in terms of the contracts that's being given out by the club for a couple of the academy players who are really unlikely to get anywhere near the first team, I would have thought, unless something really drastic happens, and we're revisiting this in a few months' time, saying, yeah, well, they did have a role to play. Obviously, we've got Colin Ingram was in the photos today, the squad photos. So obviously, he's gonna be in and around the squad, in and around the team until Marnus joins up with us, which I'm not. Haven't seen any confirmed date yet for when Marnus will be joining up with us. His recent scores I've been keeping an eye on when he's been playing for Australia haven't been great, and I know he was out of the T20 side as well. So hopefully he has a bit of rest now before he joins up with the Glamorgan and comes back fresh. Because I said some of his scoring in the test team wasn't the Marnus of old. Marnus will obviously. We'll play instead of Colin Ingram, but we've got Colin Ingram, Marnus, and then Mir Hamza as our overseas, and then obviously Mason Crane will, I would have thought, play every game. I would have thought now Andrew Salt is retired. Obviously, in the T20, we probably may have the luxury of playing two spinners with Prem, so yeah, we wait and see. In the second part of our season preview, we'll focus on our opposition. Where they finished last year and what leagues, etc. So I think for now we shall take a break, and in the second part we will focus on our playing squad. As I said, the opposition. We'll preview the mid. Well, Middlesex is our first game, so we'll preview them in a little bit more detail as well. So we'll see you in part two. Welcome back to part two of our season preview of the 2024 County Championship Division Two season. In this part, we'll be previewing our playing squad for the new season and also our first opponents, Middlesex. We'll be also giving our predictions for where we think Glammy will end up at the end of the season, and also we'll be giving our predictions for the starting 11 for the first game, which is 5th of April against Middlesex. We'll also just review the friendly against Cardiff Students as well, which finished in a draw. Before we get on to the looking in more detail about our playing staff this year, got some other sort of business to attend to in terms of other appointments and injury news. It's not a fantastic start to the season in terms of the injury news. We'll get to that in a little bit. Based off the appointment of the new club president, Alan Wilkins. I remember Alan Wilkins as a BBC Sport Wales presenter in the 90s, who was the sort of equivalent of the Jason Mohammed who is now. Alan Wilkins was the face of rugby and the scores on a Saturday. But I also know he's been a cricket commentator for the last sort of 20 years. I was an ex-player for Glamorgan, so he's taken over the role as club president. In part one, obviously, we previewed and discussed Grant Bradburn. Grant Bradburn has appointed an assistant coach whose name is Toby Bailey. And Toby Bailey has got, well, he's got a really good CV. He's served as assistant coach with responsibility for fielding and batting under Grant from 2013 to 2018. Acted as head coach of the Scotland men's national cricket team from September 2018 to February 2019, assumed the role of national performance coach from April 2019 to May 22, followed by his appointment as a Cricket Scotland head of performance in May 22, leading male and female international teams to three ICC trophies, including qualification to the 2024 T20 World Cup, and narrowly missed out on the 50-over World Cup qualifications. So, and before moving to Cricket Scotland, Toby was getting his coaching journey as head coach of Argentinian cricket team from October 2009 to March 2012. Before moving to coaching, he played county cricket for Northamptonshire between 1995 and 2004. I think Argentinian cricket team stands out for me. I have to admit, I didn't even know they had a cricket team, but now we've got the ex-head coach. It's brilliant. Brings a wealth of experience to the club as well, which is something that Grant obviously brings that added value to, which we welcome, Toby. Other news today, recruitment-wise, we've signed hot off the press Craig Miles, and Ed will give us some background on Craig's background and stats. Signed him on loan from Warwickshire on a three-match loan deal. And everyone else who's listened to the podcast may know why we signed him. Is because Tim Van Gerwen has had a calf injury. Haven't been able to find any information on how long he's out for, but just assume that it's going to be the first month, maybe three, four matches at least. Unfortunate, because he's our main senior bowler. We've obviously acted quickly and got Craig Miles in, which is showing good aspirations from the club to do that. So in previous seasons, we may have just trotted out the old lines about we're going to give the youngsters a try, and we've got enough in the squad, when realistically we may not have. Also found out today that Harry Podmore suspected broken a bone in his hand during that Cardiff University match, which is only a three-day match, which they didn't play all 3 days. But so he might be out for a little bit, which is unfortunate, because I think he played, he took a few wickets. He's been photographed quite a bit in the squad photos, which I think is a good sign that he's been integrated back in the team. And lo and behold, Glamorgan's bad luck strikes again, and he's out with a suspected broken bone in his hand. Not sure how long he'll be out for. So I think that's why Glamorgan probably acted to get Craig Miles in. And then another sad injury story. Eddie Byram has dislocated his shoulder while in training. He hasn't had much luck with injuries at all. He'll be out for a while. No date for return. So yeah, that does cause a headache, but in the batting now, without David Lloyd or even without Andrew Salter to makeshift. So we'll talk about the Cardiff game in a little while, but we know that they went with Billy Root up top. I can only imagine that's what they'll be going into the Middlesex game, the opening partnership with Zain Hassan and Billy Root. Before I give a quick overview of all the playing contracts and extensions that were given out over the winter break, something came to attention yesterday in the media. A letter has been submitted to Glamorgan, the chairman, from some ex-players and coaches named Roger Davis, Alan Lewis Jones, Kevin Lyons and John Steele. Just regarding, picked up on some of the themes that Tom Cullen picked up on, and they mentioned about poor performance and lack of homegrown players. That was in the media this week. Something that I don't need to go into too much detail with. It picks, like I said, picks up a lot of themes that Tom Cullen mentioned, but the key thing is sort of the whole jobs for the boys. It was raised that the club didn't look to go external for Hugh Morris's successor. It's unfortunate that part one of the podcast didn't come out before this article, because it now looks like we are just echoing what the player said. But I can assure you part one was recorded last week before this letter was made public. It's heartening, I think, that us supporters are supported by ex-players and ex-coaches in the feeling around youngsters coming through, and also the sort of the fact that the Glamorgan didn't look external for such a key role as a CEO. That was in the news this week. I'm not sure anything's going to come of that letter. Obviously not much has come of Tom Cullen and Simon Jones' criticism over the winter, and this letter matters of days before the season start hits the press. So probably not helpful, but it's sort of heartening to see that other higher profile people with a greater stature in the club are saying the same things as us supporters and members. So that was something else in the news this week. Before I go on to the sort of playing staff, Ed, did you want to bring us some information on Craig Miles and what he'll be bringing to the squad and the team?
He's a fast bowler from Wiltshire, and he does actually have a Cardiff connection. I remember when I first started playing for Cardiff about 10 years ago, his brother Adam was first team captain. I'm sure he's set foot in Cardiff before. He knows a bit about the place, I'm sure. He's familiar with his surroundings. But yeah, he's from Wiltshire originally, and sort of made his first class debut for Gloucestershire. But since 2019, he's been playing for Warwickshire. I think, you know, honest pro, perhaps not a serious sort of third, number one bowler for Gloucester, sorry, for Warwickshire. But yeah, always very good sort of backup. So I think, yeah, good luck to him. I think he's got a really good opportunity to be sort of, well, number one with a Glammy. Yeah, let's see how he does.
His appearances last year for Warwickshire, then, Ed. Obviously, not the number one choice, but any sort of stats or averages or any figures on appearances?
Okay, yeah, so his playing background, well, in total, he's taken 344 first class wickets. That's an average of 28. That's respectable, and got a decent one day record most recently. But yeah, I think, yeah, obviously not necessarily first choice at Warwickshire. Obviously, they unless they wouldn't be letting him out, go out on loan. He's a good replacement for Van de Gutten.
How old is he?
He's 29.
29. Okay, so
Yeah, I mean, like, he's
he
at a
needs to
good
get he
age, yeah.
needs time by the sounds of it. If he didn't have much time in the side last year for Warwickshire, one day fine, but it's gonna be the red ball at the moment. Perhaps this competition for places, perhaps Grant Bradman's thinking suits us to have a pro who knows County Championship. Obviously played Division One mainly by the sounds of it, or in the squad. Obviously he wants game time in the player, and good for Warwickshire because obviously he gets the overs under his belt. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if we don't know what sort of pre-season he had, but so wondering if he gets in the Glamorgan first 11. I presume they've signed him knowing that he's had some sort of pre-season, because otherwise you get up to speed by like game three and that's the end of the loan. So hopefully he has some fitness and he can contribute to the team, press for a start. Thanks, Ed, for that overview of Craig Miles. Hope he hits the ground running when he gets his chance and grabs it with both hands. So, onto the Glamorgan playing staff for 2024. Over the winter, there was a couple of contract awards and extensions. So, Zain Hassan, Ben Morris, they were given new contract extensions. I haven't found any information on how long they've been extended for, but Ben Morris is obviously the seamer who had a couple of games last year. Likewise, Ben Kellaway, who we know is the all-rounder, sort of right arm off break all-rounder, he's had his contract extend up to 2026. And then Alex Horton, who is the wicket keeper ready to take over the gloves from, I think, Chris Cook. Obviously, Chris should mention Chris Cook's testimonial, well deserved. So whenever he decides to hang up his gloves, I think Alex Horton will be the first choice. He's had his contract extended up to at least 2025. So I'd like to think 2024 now, and would like to think that we are investing this time in Alex Horton, and he does stick around to wait for his chance. Best will in the world, Chris Cook won't be behind the stumps forever. So hopefully Alex does get his chance eventually. Some new contracts awarded to as well. So Prem Sajoja got a new contract. Andy Gorvin, the seam bowler, new contract. Will Smale was given his first professional contract. He's down as a wicketkeeper batter, so we'll have to wait and see what chances he gets behind. Obviously, Alex Horton will be the number two. And then 2 year rookie contracts were given to Henry Hearle, and who's also down as a wicketkeeper batter, but I imagine they'll be looking to promote him as a batter. And then Asa Tribe as a batter, who I believe is playing for Jersey in the T20. Someone like that in the team who's playing at that or representing that team. So it'd be really good to get those integrated in the first team and given chances whenever they are presented. Given a shout when maybe some of the first team's form have dipped and we need to freshen up and given chances, maybe, who knows, maybe at the back end of the season, promotion may be off the cards and why not give them a chance? But likewise, we may be in the promotion hunt. So obviously, the coach is all about winning cricket matches and it'll be interesting to see how we blood those youngsters in. And integrate those into the first team and they get their chance. The playing staff news over the winter, I think the squad is pretty much settled. It's unfortunate Eddie Barham's injured. So it's a headache at the top of that order already, but we'll have to wait and see how it goes with the new coach. So Division Two then, familiar names: Derbyshire, Gloucestershire, Leicestershire, Sussex, Yorkshire, who I've seen somewhere in the media are favourites this year. And then we're joined by Middlesex, who finished ninth in Division One last year, and Northamptonshire, who finished 10th in Division One last year. Our first opponent at the home of cricket, Lords, is Middlesex. Ed, are you able to give myself and the listeners a overview of Middlesex key personnel.
As you said, they came down from League One last season, and the head coach is Richard Johnson. He's been around a while, yeah, sort of trusty sort of bowler, county bowler in his time, made a few appearances for England. Their batting coach is Mark Ramprakash, and bowling coach is Ian Salisbury. So yeah, all people with sort of pedigree there. Their captain is Toby Rowland-Jones, also made a few appearances for England as a bowler. Sort of the main batsmen to look out for, Mark Stoneman and Sam Robson, who've both opened the batting for England. You know, quite many sort of one of many batsmen sort of try and replace Cook and Strauss. But yeah, sort of have been the main sort of two opening batsmen for Middlesex for a season or two now. Joining the bowling department, someone who's passed the bowling department, Andy, who you'll be glad, is Tim Murtagh. He's finally retired.
Yes.
Now.
So yes, yeah, absolutely yeah, relief that he's not going to be bowling the medium paces down the hill in the overhead conditions in April, because we... I don't know how Glamorgan batters ever knew how to play him. So yes, absolute relief. Not even reminding me of that, Ed.
They got Josh Dakeres, who's bowler and batsman. He's the son of Michael Atherton. They're fairly strong, Middlesex, but obviously without Murtagh, great sort of servant that he was. I think one big loss for them this season will be John Simpson. So he was their wicketkeeper last season. He's always sort of very, just a real, very sort of, when you're on the opposing side, he's very sort of annoying cricketer. Often Middlesex collapsed a lot at the beginning in the sort of top order last season, and he would always sort of come in at sort of six or seven, you know, and hang around and like do a good job. So he's gone to Sussex, so he won't be around. So I think that they will be weaker, but yeah, they've still got sort of the mainstays of Eskenazi in the middle order as well, and Ryan Higgins, who's reliable all rounder as well.
Overseas
player is Loose Deploy. Left-handed batsman, South African. So he signed from Derbyshire. Sort of predictions, I'm sort of thinking that it will probably be a washout. I don't think we will necessarily play the all 4 days.
In terms of who we think are going to get promoted, Ed, in come September, your favourites, if you like, but your one and two then get promoted.
I mean, even though Yorkshire had a bad season last season, I would sort of, you know, you'd look bigger clubs in sort of, you know, English and Welsh cricket, aren't they? Yes. So you think their time
is there, isn't he? And,
that's right, yeah. So that you'd think their time's going to come round, and maybe this is going to be their season.
As I was reading that list, Glamorgan know our place. I'm sure no one from the other counties are listening, but we know we're in with the likes of Sussex, Leicestershire, Derbyshire, Gloucestershire, maybe, even though they've jumped between Division 1 and Division 2. Northants as well, always class ourselves with them. Then it seems to be Yorkshire or Middlesex. Now, as you've given an overview of Middlesex there, I'm an optimist, obviously. So I think I agree with, you're one and two then. Same Yorkshire, I think.
Yeah, so I'd say Yorkshire. It probably could be any one of Glammy, Middlesex and Sussex. Well, actually, Northants, I mean, I think they could. I think most likely it would be Yorkshire, Northants, Middlesex. Two of those three.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
That's Ed's top three in any sort of order. I can't look past Glamorgan, obviously. I think Yorkshire as well. I think I agree with you. Their time has probably come around now. And I've read somewhere that I think Harry Brook, Joe Root available for the five of the first seven championship games. I haven't got the Glamorgan fixture in front of me, but the odds are that we will be laying them in the first... Yes, we play them 3rd of May at Headingley. Going to be quite a few ex-Glamorgan watches going on this year. So we're interested to see how David Lloyd does. They've also got an Iron Donald as well of this ex-parish as well. So we have to wait and see how that they all go. And Michael Ness is obviously in Division 1. Best luck to him. Let's have a look back at the Cardiff fixture. Gave us an inkling of what verse 11 Grant will be looking for. He went with Zainal Hassan, Billy Ruto opened, Colin Ingram, Sam Northeast, Kieran Carson, Will Smale, Chris Cook, Dan Douthwaite, James Harris, Harry Podmore, Mason Crane, Jamie McElroy. In the Cardiff ranks, Asser Tribe was in the team. Ben Keller is in the team. Rodri Lewis, we have mentioned a number of times on this podcast. Ben Morris, he played as well. Another name that we mentioned on this podcast, definitely over the last two seasons, Harry Friend. Because a game that Cardiff had before the Glamorgan fixture and he's made runs against for Cardiff Uni already this season. Interesting to see how he would have gone in this fixture. He unfortunately got scores of 2 and 26, so, and he was open in as well with Cardiff. So thinking maybe if he had got decent scores, then maybe he could have got himself into the first team squad in the absence of Byron, but unfortunately probably hasn't done enough. So Cardiff made 206 all out. His top score was Joe Phillips, 65, who opened. Then Ash tried 47, Ben Kellaway 30. There were wickets for Jamie McElroy, got 4 for 57. So I think Jamie McElroy will be looking to cement his place in that first team squad this year. James Harris, 1 for 25. Podmore played. So obviously given inkling that Grant was looking maybe to start him against Middlesex. But Lords, 1 for 44. Douthwaite, 0 for 55. Obviously filling the all-rounder spot. Zane Alsan, 2 for 14. So chipping in. Mason Crane got his, obviously played his debut for us, 2 for 9. So that all goes well for this season. Glamorgan made 264 declared. Obviously this rain-affected match. Northeast retired injured. Well, hopefully he's not injured. Just retired out for 82. Kieran Carson, he came in at 4. He scored 43. Ingram came in at 5, got 6. Zain Al-Sami got 49. So once again, so close to getting a 50. Billy Root got 20. So he, the first fall of the wicket was 39 for 1. So not quite getting the 50 partnership. The pick of the bowlers was Joe Davis for 4 for 52. Cardiff second innings, 63 for 7. Harry Friend, 26, he top scored. Okay, so looking at the bowling figures for Cardiff second innings then. James Harris, 2 for 16. Jamie McElroy, 0 for 19. Harry Podmore, 3 for 10. So it looks like he was coming back in some sort of form after we signed him a couple of seasons ago as a replacement for Michael Hogan. So everything was looking positive for Harry. Obviously, the injury doesn't set him back too much. Mason Crane, 2 for 12. Dan Douthwaite, 0 for 6. So I think Dan went wicketless in both innings, which is a bit of a concern. Mason Crane took 2 for 9. I said 2 for 12. So 4 wickets. 4 wickets for 21 runs. So hopefully that all goes well for the season ahead of us. So looking at that starting lineup, Zain Al-Sahan and Billy Root, I can't imagine that's going to change. Ingram was down at 3, but actually batted at 5. Northeast came in at 3. Carlson at 4. So that'll be interesting to see how they line up. Obviously, Marlis and Labuschagne will be joining us soon. Not haven't got a date yet when Marlis will be joining us. Chris Cook then came in, although the Will Smale was down on the sheet, but the Cook has to come in there. And then Douthwaite was the all rounder. One can only imagine that he will be retain that spot unless they look at maybe Andy Gorvin, who's batted well for us when he's come in. And then Podmore came in, so obviously that's not going to be Podmore now. And then Harris came in at 9, Crane 10, McElroy 11. Yeah, Harris said he didn't want to, he, when he signed, he was more concentrated on his bowling. So coming in at 9 is a tad high for him. We've obviously got Mir Hamza coming in as well, who will play this game, I would imagine. He's been in and around the squad, according to the coach. So he'll come in, I imagine, at 10, maybe Crane at 9, Harris at 8, and then Douthwaite, and then Cook. I think that's maybe how I see it. So not too much of a disruption. Mihama coming in for Harry Podmore because he's injured, and then the rest stays as it is. You think that's what's likely to happen, Ed? I imagine.
Yeah, I think since ever since we started doing this, the opening pair, yeah, batting pair for Glammy has never been one to fill you with confidence. And no. So I'm a bit concerned about that. If you were to ask Zainal Hassan and Billy Root where they would want to bat, I doubt it would be openers. I think that Billy Root had a decent season last season at sort of 6 or 7, didn't he? So
yes.
I think they know that. And he was often exposed. I think as a short-term fix, yeah, that's fine.
I am sorry to come in. I imagine looking at that can only sort of point to one direction in terms of the new coach is how he's going to want to play a little bit with a Billy Root coming in at 2. May not have David Lloyd coming in as someone who will put the runs on the board early and get the scoreboard ticking over and put, I think it's called positive cricket. Didn't always work with us. We could see that's what they were trying to do to get results. As soon as I saw that Byron was out, I'm thinking, okay, that is a problem. And then they went with Billy Root. I'm thinking, right, once again, he's going to play positively, I imagine. So once again, I'm sort of thinking, are we in the position where we've got a new coach, but with similar ideas about how he's going to try and win matches? And we know, as you've alluded to, that doesn't doesn't always work with this group of players, and it can expose the middle order very quickly. And I know other supporters have commented today about the signing of Craig Miles, and other supporters have said, okay, but what about opening batters? The fear is, I share your fears in terms of the opening batting lineup. I think the Byram news is worse than the Van der Gerten and Podmore. We've struggled getting opening batters over the years anyway, and we've got Mir coming in, and we've obviously got identified Craig Miles as a loanee available to us. An issue up top, which doesn't fill me with much optimism and confidence going to Lords, I will admit that. Am I reading anything into why Ingram's coming in at five?
Just remind me, who's three in the Cardiff game?
Northeast came in at three, then Carson four, then Ingram five. Usually it's Ingram, Northeast, Carson. So
yeah, it's interesting. So Northeast is captain obviously this season.
Yes,
so
Red Bull. Yes,
maybe that's where Northeast wants to bat. I think it's probably just a case of, look, Northeast being captain, he's going to have sort of absolutely say on where he wants to bat. He wants to bat number three. Maybe when Labuschagne gets back, Labuschagne will go four. Carlson will go five. I think maybe Northeast is three all season, maybe that, rather than, you know, four as what it was last season. We know the top sort of five batsmen, and maybe don't quite know their order yet. I think as far as the bowlers, Crane, Mir Hamza and Craig Miles, I think would be the main three that we're looking to take wickets.
Okay, so perhaps James Harris and McIlroy, you think maybe your Douthwaite then?
Which was very similar to last season, I remember.
I think I approach this in terms of when other teams go to play at Middlesex later in the year, it'll be different conditions, and we'll be into the full swing of the season. So us going away from home, it's almost like we can't win the championship. But if you start off really bad the first couple of games, then it feels almost like you're going to have to get that momentum into the season, aren't you? Yeah, the teams will go to Middlesex at the height of summer or whatever, better weather conditions, and there'll be results there. But with the weather forecast, hopefully we just come out with the worst case scenario is a draw, no result. The worst case scenario, obviously, would be we get skiffled and it's over. We bat twice, they bat one sort of thing, and it's over in a couple of sessions sort of thing. So, but Tim Merton's not playing, so hopefully that won't happen this time. But I have got nightmares from when we went up there before and just couldn't play that seeming ball by the medium pacer. So I can still have flashbacks about that. But hey, okay, so that's the season preview done for another year. Exciting. We're on the eve of the season start. We're a matter of days away. I am optimistic. We've got a new coach, got a new coaching setup as well around Grant Bradburn. We've got a new overseas pace bowler coming in. Mason Crane is there. He's already started taking wickets for us. Sam Northeast is a strong batter and as a captain as well. Zain Halsan did have good scores last year. He's renewed him with a contract, so hope he can knuckle down. The club hierarchy have acted quickly. Hats off to Mark Wallace on this. Respect where respect's due. He's acted quickly and got in a replacement for Tim Van Gerten and Harry Pardmore, if he is out injured long term, in Craig Miles. So we must, I'm going to be optimistic, give the benefit of the doubt. We've not had a great winter, I don't think. It's a clean page and new season. Yeah, I can't wait for it to get started now. The games will come thick and fast. We start obviously at Middlesex on the 5th of April, and then we have Derbyshire, 12th of April at the Gardens, Savile Gardens. Then we have Northants at the County Ground, Northamptonshire. So interesting that the first three games, two of those were ex-Division 1 teams, both away. So that's probably a good thing to get those away fixtures against old Division 1 clubs out the way, because they're obviously going to be looking to bounce back and regroup. Then we have Yorkshire at Headley, the 3rd of May. Once again, good to get that fixture out the way, I think, early. There's Sussex at the Gardens, 10th of May. Then Middlesex, the return fixture on 17th of May at the Gardens. Leicestershire at Leicester's ground on the 24th of May, and then we're into the blast then, 31st of May, Surrey, the first game. Interesting that we've got Middlesex, North and Yorkshire and Middlesex again before the break for the blast. Leicester, Sussex and Derbyshire, games we'll target definitely not to lose, maybe to pick up a win. I'm excited, glad to have Ed with me on for the season. We will be back after that Middlesex game, hopefully, as I always say, hopefully talking about a Glamorgan win, definitely not a loss. We'll be back next week following that opening fixture. That just leaves me to say go Glammy and wish you all well. Bye for now.